Amen. I want to talk to you here out of John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And we're going to start something new. We finished Romans the last few weeks, and we're going to start something new, but I'm not sure yet. I've been praying about a couple things, but I wanted to minister out of John chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, you can open up. And this is the story of the feeding the 5,000. And most of you guys know about this story. So Jesus does a great miracle here. And then he has an interaction with the Jews. And how many of you know back in this day, they didn't have refrigerators or Costco? So food was a premium. And whoever would feed the masses, they were the most powerful. So when he was feeding all these people and gaining all these followers, the Jews, you know, they really took notice. And so Jesus feeds the 5,000 here. He does a great miracle. And then in verse 35, he says this. He says, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life who comes to me. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." So there was throngs of people following Jesus so they could have food, right? And Jesus is very popular with the multitudes. And so now he says, "I am the bread of life. If he who comes to me shall never hunger, he who believes in me shall never thirst." And he goes on, and these are some of the harder teachings of Jesus. How many of you know Jesus had some hard sayings? And he goes on, and the Jews complain in verse 41 about him, and he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." You know, and they said, verse 42, and they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it that he says, I have come down from heaven?" And so, you know, here he starts to say some hard sayings, some things they don't understand. Jesus, he knows their hearts. Verse 43, it says, "And Jesus therefore answered to them, don't murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then in verse 48, he says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die." I mean, just take a step back. We've heard these teachings a long time, but just take a step back. If you never, how these Jews and these others, I mean, Jesus is saying, "I'm the bread that comes down from heaven. I'm the living bread. If you eat, you'll never die. You'll raise up at the last day." And then verse 51, he takes it to another level. Now he's just not calling himself bread. He takes it to another level. He says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he'll live forever. And the bread I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give his flesh to eat?" Verse 53, then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Verse 55 says, "For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Another translation says, my flesh is real food or true food. My blood is real drink or real true drink. Verse 56, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." And so Jesus says he's the bread. Now he says, you know, eat my flesh, drink my blood. I mean, he's really, it's like, so that they, I mean, can you imagine what they were thinking at this time? He's just saying this as a figure of speech. He's saying, you know, when you're following me, when you're following my teachings, abiding in me, you're going to have eternal life. And in verse 60, here's how they respond. "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. who can understand this? I don't know what you're talking about. Cannibalism? You want us to eat you? Drink your blood? This is crazy. This is a hard saying. Who knows what you're talking about? And then Jesus, he knew their thoughts and he knew what they were thinking. It says in verse 61, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. And he says to them, does this offend you? And so here we see a principle. I wanted to talk about this for a while. We see a principle of people following Jesus and they get a benefit from it. They get food. They get a natural benefit. And there's times in our lives where we're following Jesus and it serves us well. So I'll give you an example. So maybe you were raised in a Christian home or you went to a Christian school or you're in a kind of a Christian subculture, Christian environment. Serving Jesus will keep you out of trouble. You know, you won't get on drugs or alcoholism, or you run with the right crowd. There's positive peer pressure. And it serves you well. Maybe it helps you with some business connections. You have friendships. You know, a lot of the traps in life you don't fall into, and it's a good thing serving Jesus. It helps you. Okay? But you know, that's true and that's a part of it. But you know, there's also seasons to where serving Jesus is going to be hard. And it's what I would call a crisis of faith moment. And there's certain seasons in our walk with God where it's simply going to cost us more to follow him. Sometimes it benefits you well. It's a win-win. It's an easy choice. It's a no-brainer. I'll follow Jesus. It's going to help me. But there's certain places, seasons in our lives, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us more than others. You know, I remember when I became a Christian in college and, you know, just coming from the darkness into the light, just quitting drinking, quitting partying, more discipline in my life, better friends. I mean, I just totally cleaned my life up. It was a positive thing. But as I began to follow God, it started costing me some friendships. Not everyone understood the stand I was making. And then as a young businessman in New Orleans, I remember the first job I had down there, you know, they had this big annual sales meeting. And whoever, you know, the manager would pick a few guys to go, and they would have it in different parts of the country. And so the secret agendas of a lot of these guys was to have a big party, right? So I remember when it got time I did better than some of the other guys, but I remember when it got time to choose who would go to the big sales meeting, they didn't choose me. Why? Because I wasn't going to go party. I mean, they knew I wasn't going to go out to strip clubs and have a party with them. And serving God, sometimes it's just going to cost you some things. And so you get to these places where there's a crisis of faith. And you're counting the cost. You know, many times, you know, being a Christian, it'll help you have a good marriage. But what happens to the place where all of a sudden you're having marriage problems? And you say, man, it'd be a lot easier just to do what I want to do and just not have the guilt of worrying about this, what I believe. It'd be a lot easier. You know, and many times, you know, it'd be a lot easier if I could just walk away from this. And it's going to cost you something. Doing the right thing, it's going to cost us something. And so this is where the disciples are. And they get to this place and there's this point of this crisis of faith, and Jesus was very popular. Great multitudes are following him, and now the crowds start to wean down. They start to wean back. And the Bible says in verse 61, Jesus said, does this offend you? And he even gets deeper. He says, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? Verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Spiritually speaking is what he's saying. You're going to follow me. This is what I'm trying to say. There are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who would not believe and who would betray him. Verse 65, and he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless he has been granted him by my Father. And verse 66 is a turning point of Jesus' ministry here in the book of John. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and followed him no more. I mean, these weren't just the apostles. These were hundreds of people, thousands of people, disciples who were following him. The Bible says they turned back. They quit following him. And now, I'm sure that Jesus, think of the 12. They're following Jesus, and they get to this point, and Jesus is starting to say some crazy stuff. He says, I'm the bread. He says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And I'm sure the disciples were like, Jesus, you're going too far with this stuff. And they were, you know, they were starting to feel it. You're like, you're losing your ministry. You're losing here, right? And Jesus knew what they were thinking. And so he says, he turns to the 12 and he says, in verse 67, he says, do you also want to go away? Are you going to leave too? And I think during there's certain times, certain seasons where being a Christian, it's gonna test, God's gonna test us, it's gonna cost us, sometimes it's gonna cost us relationships. Sometimes it may even cost us family, you know, family members are not gonna understand our lifestyle. They thought Jesus was crazy, his family did. There may be financial cost to following God. There might be business. Maybe you're in an industry that they want, you know, compromising, or that's how you're promoted, or popularity, fitting in with a certain social. Maybe that's how you're promoted, and it was real easy to be a Christian until you were thrust into this environment. Maybe it's your neighborhood or friendships. And so there's certain seasons. Many times it's a season of transition. You move to a new city. You have new friends. You start a new career. Sometimes it's during a time of transition. Sometimes it's just when life is hard. You know, you don't have a dollar. You don't know where your next dollar is coming from. It's just a hard season. There's relational strife. It's a hard time, and then sometimes you're just tempted. You're just tempted during this point of faith. And here's the point. You get to this place now. Maybe you've had a salvation experience with Jesus. You came from darkness to light. You've met him. You've experienced his love and forgiveness and peace. And even there was an emotional just connection with God. But over the days and months and years, that can become a memory. And now you're walking by faith, and it's hard, and it's costing you something. And that's where every believer eventually is going to walk through some of these seasons. And you're just walking by faith. You're taking one step before. There's no feelings, really. That's where the disciples were at this point. People are forsaking them. People are leaving them. And Jesus saying, they said, this is a hard saying. And so here's what happens. You're at this place where it's not just about what God can do for you and all the benefits of him, but he's starting to test what this walk, this discipleship is really all about. And Jesus says in verse 67, he says, then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And somehow Peter, of all the disciples, somehow he has this big revelation. And he answers, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so here's the deal. When we're faced with this temptation to turn away, the question is, where are we going to go? Because when we turn away from the Lord, we're turning to something else. And so, and not only that, here's the deal. If we turn back from the Lord, we're turning to something else. We just don't turn to a void. We turn to something else. We're going to turn to another belief system. We're going to turn to something else to fulfill that. And the thing is, eventually we're going to come back anyway. We know we're going to come back to him anyway. We're already ruined. We already know that there's more. And what's going to happen is we're going to turn back and we're going to be filled with regret. And when we turn, when we're far away, if we turn away from the Lord, what happens is we never lose his love for us. We just lose the assurance of his love for us. And now we have to deal with condemnation. And so look at what he says. He says, to whom shall we go? And think about this. When we're in this point of faith, where are we going to go? Are we going to change our belief system? Are we going to fill a short-term gratification? Verse 69 says, also, we have come to believe and know. And so that's where we've at. We've believed in Jesus. We've known. We've experienced his love and his grace and his forgiveness. That you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, only you have the words of eternal life. And so there's places in our life, there's times in our life. It may not be when we're young or when we're focused on a lot of things, but there's going to be a time in our life where eternity becomes very important to us. And Peter says this, only you are able to teach us about eternity. Only you have integrity, and you're the only one who speaks with authority about eternal things. You're the only one who has words that deal with eternity. You're the one that teaches about eternal life. You're the one that gives us an eternal perspective. To whom else shall we go that we're going to get this from, is what he's saying. And so when we walk away, when we turn away in this point of crisis, we have to remember it's not just the questions or the doubts. We're turning to something else to fill the void. We're going to turn to it. What are we going to, are we going to say like agnostics? We don't know what we believe. We're not sure. Are we going to become atheists and just turn away from Jesus? But it's not only a belief system, it's just these times where we're counting the cost and we're tempted and to just to say, is it worth it? Is this worth it? And if you've ever thought that, I just want to encourage you today, you're not the first. You're not the first person to ever say, man, is this worth it? I didn't know. You know, back when I had this experience, I had no idea I was going to walk through this. I had no idea it was going to be like this. But how many of you know you're not the first, and Jesus and his grace is sufficient? And so maybe, you know, and how many of you have talked to people, or maybe you've experienced this yourself, people who drifted from Jesus, and then they come back. You know what they deal with? They've lost the assurance of his love. Of course Jesus loves us. But we're the ones who drift away from him. Of course he loves us, but we lose the assurance of his love. We drift out of fellowship with him. And then, you know what else we deal with? Regret. We've lost our most precious commodity, time. And we say, man, I left him for those years. How many stories have we heard at the church? How many stories have you heard? Man, I left and now I'm back. I'm trying to make up for time with Jesus. And so here's what I want to encourage you with as we close in prayer today. Whenever you're tempted and it's hard, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? You don't just leave Jesus, but you embrace something else and it's going to leave us empty. Because only he has the words of eternal life. Some of us are in a place anyway, we were ruined. You experience his forgiveness and his love in such a powerful way, you're ruined anyway. You can't go anywhere. You're already ruined for it. And you're going to come back anyway. But you're going to come back with pain. So when we're tempted, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? Only he is able to teach us and give us eternal life. Let's say a prayer together. Father, we thank you so much for your grace for us. And this is a hard saying in your scriptures. But we embrace all the truths of your word. And we want to follow you. We want to see the end from the beginning. We want to hear well done, good and faithful servant. And we thank you so much for your grace in our life. It's not according to our own self-will and our own performance and our own ability. It's your grace that sustains us. We just open our hearts to just receive from you, to walk with you, God. God, we just thank you that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Even in times of temptation, God, times of trials, hard times, God, in your grace, we're able to stand. And we thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen.